course, I can see a situation where we invite Ricky Ash to actually show how to actually ski off a mountain with a Union Jack parachute. But, you know, maybe not. Online now, as promised, our director of audio productions, who's probably actually going to give us notes, because he did say he was going to be tuned into the show and indeed put a hyperlink on his Magic Bullet website, which was a joy unparalleled. No pun intended, Miss Knight. But it was nice to see that connection there. Whom are we referring to, Joy?
Alan Stevens.
Yay! Are you there, Alan Stevens? So, Felicity Hardingham, Fiona Hardingham, Jan Daniel Blythe, Michelle Monroe, Richard Martin, Chantel Carey, Sarah Chase, how's it been going for yourself as a listener?
Well, a support act for the main event, they were great.
As support acts to the main event.
Modesty for you.
Well, exactly. Now, I didn't say I was the main event, did I?
Well, there was an implication as we build to all the scenario that we were heading to that zone. But no, how did you feel? Because we obviously we threw in the brief encounter moments because I felt that was important. Really, you know, get back to the roots of these things with Richard Martin.
That was very good. Yeah, I was thinking myself, is he going to show?
Well,
Martin was not available, so we're now going to play some music for half an hour. But no,
I don't think we'd ever go down that route. I mean, there were Plan B's and C's and D's in operation.
You had every base covered,
well,
Alex, didn't you?
I like to feel that's the essence. I mean, what would the Doctor do in this situation? Ah. You know, there's always something. Think. And in terms of Daniel's views on Daleks, has it kind of placated you? I was going to talk a little bit about Chris Chibnall, but time obviously sort of mitigated against that. Do you feel? Are you mellowing? Do you feel, or is it still something that sends you into?
Well, Raymond Cusack, the man who designed them, for, I think they're absolutely dreadful, and I kind of would rather go with his idea than Daniel's Daleks. And also, I mean, there's now 10,000 people have signed a Facebook petition saying bring back the original design of the Daleks. And not these lumpen disasters.
My Kieran doesn't like them.
Does he not?
No, he doesn't. No.
Good taste.
Yeah.
Well, that's extraordinary. Yeah. I mean, because surely they have undergone several redesigns.
But they've never messed with the basic shape. And this messes with the basic shape. It just looks like a... I mean, the profile, if you take any design of it... Well, it's not really a design at all. It's been basically the same Dalek repainted with a new... You know, with little bits and pieces changed over the years because they've fallen off. And they've stuck car indicator lights on there or a new sink plunger. But to actually change the profile, it's a big fat truck there, doesn't it? You know, it's awful.
I mean, sure.
Don't get me on this.
No, I'm just thinking perhaps, I just thought this here, perhaps, you know, when the Doctor actually has an adventure in Middlesbrough and in Lincoln and on the edge of Sheffield, big fat trucks could be exactly who his adversaries are. Just a thought. Anyway, Sci-Fi Now, the official best magazine of 2010, the award-winning sci-fi, fantasy and horror magazine. Obviously, other magazines are available, and we like SFX as well. But in terms of this, time's up. Who the final verdict? Timeless Time Lord or Dreadful Doctor? Mm. SF Luminaries on the most divisive series yet.
Oh.
So, with three shows in the routine to go, and a little plug actually for a Doctor Who writer we mentioned earlier, Paul Cornell, and Pulse, which I thought was a wonderful little... So, I don't know if you caught Pulse, it was on BBC Three, but it was a wonderful little piece of Grand Guignol horror based in the health service, which is an interesting line. But before we go on to that, what are your thoughts, Alan? I've already nailed my colours to the mast. Vincent van Gogh, you could say I was chopped off one's ear there, but no, that would not be helpful if you want stereophonic sound.
You asked me what did I think of the last episode, or what do I think of Matt Smith?
I'm thinking about both, actually, Alan.
Well, there's no debate over Matt Smith. Any idea that there is just media hype. He is excellent. He's been excellent from episode one. Even the hardened haters of New Who have said, no, actually, Matt Smith is very, very good. So there's not even a debate there. He has been a success.
There you go. The Stevens Meister has spoken.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So, in terms of the series, as I say, Amy's Choice and Vincent and the Doctor, my two favourites from this particular area. What about yourself?
Well, Amy's Choice is very good. Vincent and the Doctor.
Yes.
Well, it's an interesting take that Vincent van Gogh suffered from fell pest.
Yes.
But he was, in fact, pursued throughout his life by a giant, invisible chicken that acted, apparently, according to the actor who played him, Tony Curran, as a metaphor for his mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
So, a giant invisible chicken that goes around murdering women. Yeah, I kind of think, well, I that kind of fits with my you know, sketchy knowledge of Vincent van Gogh.
Well, there we have it, you see.
Well, what was the episode that was just on Saturday? Because Kieran watched that and he said he didn't like it.
That was Vincent and the Doctor.
That was it. He said it was silly. And
Vincent and the Giant Invisible Chicken.
He came down and I'd banned him from TV because he'd been a bit, you know, I can't remember what he's doing. But I said, you're not watching any telly today. And then I relented and I said, oh, go on then. You can watch Doctor Who because that's, you know.
And then you just wanted to watch it.
And then he came down to the floor and go, I didn't really enjoy it. So,
well, it was a kind of mixture. Remember Harvey with James Stewart, a giant invisible rabbit used to follow him around?
I like that film.
Yes, it was a mixture of Harvey, the id monster from Forbidden Planet, and the giant chicken that Peter Griffin often fights in Family Guy. And you imagine that, linked with Van Gogh, then you've basically got the story there.
It sounds a bit random.
Alan, you've forgotten about the most important thing, the fact that if people are suffering from depression or mental illness, they can actually seek help as well. It was a very brave step. I think it's only EastEnders that have done
that. Did they? They didn't actually say, you know, if you are suffering from depression, they just said, you know, if any of the issues here in this episode trouble you. And I thought, well, like, I've been picked up by a time machine in Charles.
Yes. Exactly. You know, to me, that's
or
keeping...
Or that I failed to swap a piece of artwork or perhaps a CD for a bottle of wine at a local cafe.
And that's precisely what we mean by keeping it real.
I bet their lines were just inundated with people with problems like that.
Yeah.
Are you saying that the creator of Love Actually, Notting Hill, and the delights of The Boat That Rocked, Richard Curtis, co-creator of Comic Relief, was not necessarily focusing fully on this whole routine when he got the call from Stephen Moffat to submit a script for the series?
No, I think he was focused. I mean, there's some interesting stuff in it. For example, the opening scene is of Vincent van Gogh painting his final painting, which is called Wheat Field with Crows. And as he's painting it, and something comes through the wheat towards him, and that's what disturbs the crows. And then we go back in time and we meet him before those events take place, and we discover, in fact, he's being followed by a giant metaphorical chicken. Now, at the end of the story, the chicken, of course, is killed. But then we see a shot of the painting again and hear that Vincent van Gogh committed suicide. So it appears that the metaphorical chicken, you know, rematerialized. And that's a nice piece of subtext there. But the trouble is, the one big problem is, you know, it's a giant metaphorical mutant chicken. I mean... Okay, you know, Churchill apparently was followed around. Well, he called his depression the black dog. But chicken?
Yeah, a black dog would have been better, wouldn't it? It would have had a little bit of a sinister side to it.
But the black dog was possessed by patient zero in the 11th hour.
Yeah, so they couldn't do that. What other animals have we got left? We've got a badger.
Hey, we got one in the Siren Studio. Too close to home, Matt.
Oh, yeah, they could have been. No, that's your... There. Can anyone else see that?
I can't see a badger, Alex. What badger?
You see,
have there been any murders recently around where you live?
I think we're going to have to head off to a different line entirely. Alan, it's been short to the point as ever, but nevertheless extremely poignant. The motivational quote for this week, Jacques Prévert, even if happiness forgets you a little bit, never completely forget about it. If you've been listening to the show, congratulations, you've shown exceptional good taste. Stick with it because you've got Heaven Till Eight with Georgia Brown and Simon coming up at 7 o'clock.
Yes, join. The main event.
What? Joy, have you had a reasonably interesting time?
I've had a great time.
Are you back next week?
Are you inviting me?
Oh, I think so.
Then. If you're asking, I'll call my own.
We should be having Aaron Knight, our head chef from the Vista Del Mar restaurant and former colleague of Heston Blumenthal, in the studio then. Alan, have you enjoyed the show?
It was fabulous.
Are you back again? Actually, on one of our sister services, probably Southside Broadcasting this coming Saturday.
Yes, but I will be in the forest of Dean.
There we are.
No,
you see,
you don't know where I am. I'm that elusive pimple nose.
That Wilkinson chap, he does know what he starts. Really, that's the classic routine from that
I'm
point
like
of view.
I'm like a giant invisible chicken.
Time to say bye bye.
Bye bye.
imagination.